Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Reviews from the Clubhouse. As always, brought to you by Clubhouse Films. We are your hosts, Chance McDuffie and
Nikola Tesla.
Ooh,
welcome to the show. Russian or something like that.
He was something. Was he German?
No, Einstein was German. I mean, he could also be German too. I guess. But
let's ask Christopher Nolan.
Okay. Nah, we can't get him on the.
He's too busy watching the box office numbers for Tenet.
Yeah. Right. We're talking about The Devil All the Time.
Yeah, it's kind of low-key of a special episode. No news since it just dropped. We're like, hey, let's review it. So here we are.
Woo!
The Devil All the Fucking Time. That's not actually the name of the movie. It's just called The Devil All the Time. Based on a book. Yeah, this movie just kind of just dropped out of nowhere.
Kind of, yeah, really out of nowhere, though.
I had seen some stills for it.
Oh, really?
Like a while ago.
I hadn't seen shit.
And I didn't know what it was about. I just knew Tom Holland was in it, and he was smoking a cigarette, and he was holding up a gun.
Schmigger.
And I was like, ooh, look at him. He's all tough and bad.
I probably watched, I did watch the trailer that dropped.
I didn't watch the trailer. I had no idea what this movie was about.
Oh, really?
I just kind of went into it cold. I like that. I'm starting to do that a lot more.
Yeah, I try to do
if
that.
If it's a movie that I'm super anticipating, like excited for, I'll watch a trailer for it. But
see, now
if it's something
I
don't know about and it's kind of like under the radar and I'm like, this is a cool cast.
But Chance won't let me do that. Will you, Chance?
Well,
I don't want to watch.
Dune is too big of a movie to not like talk about.
Hey, you know what? Yeah, you're probably right. But
people are like, ooh, Dune, what's this? Think about all those hardcore Dune fans out there that are going to wind up upon our
the Duners?
Podcast. Yeah.
That's what they call themselves.
I almost said the Dune Sea, but that's from Star Wars.
Yeah, we make too many Star Wars references.
That's my Tusken Raider. Anyway, this movie's got a fucking all-star cast. Tom
Seriously.
Holland, Robert Pattinson, Bill Skarsgård.
Sebastian Stan.
So, yeah, he gained weight for this.
He sure did.
He looks great.
He probably dropped it all for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
When did he shoot this?
Fuck knows. He had no time.
It had to have been right after Endgame.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they rolled right into. I don't know. I don't fucking know, bro. They filmed Endgame before they filmed Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, what's the synopsis for this movie?
I don't know. You wrote it.
Sinister characters converge around a young man devoted to protecting those he loves in a post-war backwoods town teeming with corruption.
Teeming,
and betrayal.
You say?
Teeming.
Ooh.
Mm, festering. This movie was directed by Antonio Campos, and it's based on a book of the same name. So, this is going to be a non-spoiler review since this is like a new
as
thing.
As much as we can.
Technically, yeah. It's like, even though it didn't have a theatrical release, it's a new movie.
New release, yeah.
This came out this weekend, right?
No.
Last weekend?
I think it came out last weekend, yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, all-star cast. Literally anybody in this movie. This movie clocks in at 2 hours and like 28 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lot to pack in. It's a long movie. But that being said, this movie is mainly a character piece.
Yeah,
pretty much,
so.
Every actor that's on screen steals the show.
Yeah.
Whoever the main character is of whatever scene, they're fucking killing it.
Because it is very much like a shared movie. Like, there is no one main character. There is no one main story. I guess you could say it's an ensemble piece. Yeah, Tom Holland is kind of the main character along with Sebastian Stan, although he doesn't start out that way as the main character. He's kind of just thrown in there. But then stuff happens. And
yeah, we follow Bill Skarsgård in the beginning. And
right.
Oh my God. His acts.
All of
everything
their acts,
about.
Because every single person in this
Tom
is basically
kinda,
British.
Tom Holland kind of dips in now a little bit. Like here and there. It's
he kind of
like,
goes into his Peter Parker a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of like. But Bill Skarsgård stole the show for me.
Yeah, he's
like,
great.
I loved every minute of that. And I love the fact that I'm about to just change my name to Skarsgård, man. Say fuck it. Because they're doing everything. Fucking, what's his name? Stellan Skarsgård. Or no, wait.
That
Alexander
right.
Skarsgård.
Huh.
He's in the new Stephen King, The Stand, because they're making a miniseries out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Bill Skarsgård was in It. He's in this now. His dad
has been acting for 30 years.
He's in fucking Dune. He was in the original Dune. Now he's in this Dune.
Was he really?
I don't remember who he played, but he was in the original one.
That's crazy.
But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, man. That family.
They're insanely talented.
The other one, I can't remember his name, but he's on that Viking show.
There's another one?
Yeah.
Shit.
There's a few of them.
God, I didn't know that.
There's at least 5 of them.
Oh, my God. Crazy.
But what else? I love Robert Pattinson's accent and his voice. Delusion!
Yeah, he's got such a high-pitched voice.
Yeah, he gained a little bit of weight for this, too. And
did he?
Yeah. Not as much as Sebastian Stan. But yeah.
What else I got?
I'm going to try to focus on 3 main things for this film. Because it is such a very, like... It's such a drama.
There's
in
a
the
lot.
Sense of, like, nothing...
That goes on
really
too.
Happens. Like, there's not a lot of action.
No.
There's, like, no comedy.
It's all situations and character
that really
push the narrative forward for this movie. What would you say the plot to this movie is? Well, I guess I kind of said it with the
good
synopsis.
And evil.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think it's very much just a very basic type of thing. So with that being said, I'm going to try to focus on the cinematography, the writing and directing, and the acting, mm-hmm. because that's, like, really all there is with this film. Obviously, there's good and there's evil in the world, just like with this film.
Really?
Yeah, did you know that?
No. Well, I thought everything was just peaches and gravy.
Well, it's... I mean, you know, there's a lot more gray than there is, you know, in this film. But it's interesting how this is done. And yeah, it's a book, so I'd like to read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like this? Did you like this, first of all?
I did. The only reason, you have your 3 points, literally mm-hmm. my 1 point, because I don't want to say too much, is just performance. Like, these are just great performances. It's fun to watch these actors play these, like, low-key... Like, some of them are just so, like, morally ambiguous. Like, they're just kind of all over the place. And you can see it through their performances. Everybody showed up on set bringing their A game. And that's the part I enjoyed the most. Just really watching just the characters and the performances and just
What was
kinda,
the budget of this film? Do you know?
I couldn't find it.
Yeah,
I couldn't find it, yeah. But
because it feels very indie.
It had to have been expensive, though. Because it takes place in the beginning, like, it's in the 50s?
Yeah, it's a period piece. It starts in the 40s because he's in World War II, mainly in the Pacific, I believe.
South Pacific, yeah.
Yeah. But like, aside from, like, maybe the one town shot that they have, it's pretty easy. Like, it's pretty easy shoot
small
to
sets,
make a period piece.
Small
they're
locations.
They're in the woods a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, yeah.
Like, their cars. The cars are great, and that really helps sell...
And the clothing.
And the clothing, yeah. Cars, clothing, and, like, some set decorations when they're in the very few house
pieces. A lot of button-up
pieces.
Shirts with rolled-up sleeves and...
Right.
tucked.
I mean, the directing of it is very... Aside from the characters, who are directed really well, and of course, like, with that, there's a lot of give and take, right? Half of it, you know, is on the actors, and then half of it is on the director. And aside from the characters doing a phenomenal job, I think this movie is very plain.
I was going to say stale.
Yeah. Stale, I think, is a better word for it. Like, the cinematography is very... The shots are simple. They're on sticks, like, it's here's, you know, which, you know, it's hard to compare, because, like, my favorite cinematographer is Roger Deakins, and, like, a lot of his shots are very, like, he does a lot of shot reverse shot, like, with the Coen brothers whenever there's a conversation, but, like, it's always like, it's shot so well that you're never, like, left being like, well, this is really boring. We're like, for this, there's a couple times where they're in the cars and it's just shot through the window and a reverse shot through the window. It's just very boring. It's like, what am I watching?
I think a lot of that, like we said, like, this movie doesn't really have, like,
too much of a plot.
Right, there isn't. But, there so, isn't
unlike,
really.
Unlike Tenet, where that was a completely plot-driven movie, and you got a little bit less from the characters, which works because the plot was so methodic and just meticulous mm-hmm. that you had to follow it in order to keep up. But like a movie like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood that doesn't really necessarily have an overall plot.
Yeah.
You're just kind of following these characters. And I think where Once Upon a Time in Hollywood achieved more than this movie is that like the characters are just a little bit more interesting. And like
Upon a Time?
Yeah. 100%. And like in the way it's shot. Like you watch Cliff Booth drive home through like drive down Hollywood
and
Boulevard,
that's it.
And then he goes home and makes a bowl of macaroni and he feeds his dog.
Yeah,
that's good shit.
Right.
Like,
but it's so interesting.
I've never been more entertained to see somebody feed a dog and boil some noodles.
And I don't know if that's because like it's so relatable.
I don't. And then like this movie's kind of dreary. Like when I was saying like when I said a lot happens in this movie, I don't necessarily mean like action or anything like that. Like there's some fucked up stuff and situations that these characters kind of deal with, and it gets so heavy, and it just feels like even if there's not some fucked up shit going on, you still feel the weight of everything while you're watching it. And it's kind of like when I was done with it, I was like, like I need to watch like Family Guy or something like that after this, something to make me like, because I was like it altered my mood.
It makes you very tense.
Yeah. And
which is good.
It's not a bad thing. It's just
especially for the type of movie it's trying to be.
It's just kind of like that's all there is. Kind of like with Batman vs Superman. That movie's just so like everyone's like DC makes dark movies. It's great. Mm-hmm. I'm like yeah, but like give me just a little bit of fucking levity. I don't want to be. I don't want to be tense and depressed for.
And I don't know if like. Totally off topic. I don't know if the narration works for this film. I mean, like, well, the narrator is the guy who wrote the book, first of all.
Okay, I was confused as to who that was.
Yeah, like, I was like, is this supposed to be Tom Holland, like, later in life?
I thought it was his grandfather, so Bill Skarsgård's dad.
Yeah, his dad.
But does he even have any dialogue?
He maybe says a handful of lines.
But that's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
And every time he spoke, I was like, is that him? But I couldn't. I was listening like,
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's a movie that has good narration? Like, what would you say is Wolf of Wall Street. Okay, told from the perspective of the main character, right? So that's cool. That's interesting. This is told from just a person looking down, God. Like, looking down on it and just telling the audience what's going on. But, like, when it's being narrated, the narrator is saying shit that's going on within the scene. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, he was really sad because he didn't like, you know, how his coffee turned out. Or, you know, it's just so boring. Why are you telling us this?
I've read somewhere that voiceovers is just lazy writing.
It's usually hit or miss.
Because you're just explaining everything, just exposition, right. Telling people what's happening versus showing them, which is the whole point of a fucking
film.
The
third Iron Man.
Yeah.
Tony Stark narrates it. And it's like,
see, but
there's a little twist at the end with
his narration. It doesn't go through the whole movie. It starts with his narration and then it ends with his narration. Yeah. And then the post credit scene, we discover that he was just explaining the entire movie to the Hulk. But that's a little different. But,
yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. What else? I'm trying to look at my notes here. I took a lot, but yeah, I do want to refrain from spoilers. I think if you're a lover of cinema and you like dramas
and great performances,
watch this film. Like it's really good.
Yeah,
I don't think it's for everyone though.
These characters felt very lived in. They felt real.
They do.
Like you feel like you can tell that there's so much going on underneath the surface, and not just what they are delivering. Like as far as like dialogue and their actions, but like you can really. I don't know. They just feel real and raw. Like, I don't know why, but like there's that moment where. I'm not going to spoil it. Anyway, I really cared for. I can't remember the character's name of the actress, but Tom Holland's mom, her warmth and presence. It was very sweet to me.
Yes.
Like when he's leaving, she's can you get me some sugar?
Yeah.
And like. The way she asked it, I was like, what's going on? Like, seems like she's like,
you knew.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, technically, I feel like this movie was shot as a very big indie production. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is there's huge names in it. Mm-hmm. But like aside from that, there's no spectacular sets. The lighting is really off at times. Where like they shot with film. So the way a film camera works, you need more light to be exposed to the sensor so that you can see what the fuck is going on. But there's a lot of times where they're shooting at night and there is no light, mm-hmm. like whatsoever in the scene. And like you see that grain really come through. And maybe that's a stylistic choice. Who's to say? I wasn't there.
Did the Coen brothers shoot on film?
Yes, yeah.
No Country for Old Men when he's like...
Roger Deakins only shoots on film.
When he went back to get that money. Actually, no. He didn't go back to get the money. He had the money. When Josh Brolin, after he gets the money... And he's laying in bed and he can't sleep and he gets up and he goes back. But they start chasing him with that truck and that dog starts chasing them.
Yes.
That shot at night, and it's really hard to see, but it adds to the intensity. Because, I mean, that motherfucker's running for his life. They're in a pickup truck shooting at him.
They're also in, like, the dead of Texas.
In the
where
desert.
There is no light. Yeah. The only thing you get is the moon. And I feel like that's what they were trying to do. Like, they were trying to make it natural. But, like, see, Roger Deakins can make... Take 1917, for instance. Like, he can take a situation where there is no light. Like, no natural light from... street lamps or the moon or something and add like a lot of character to it. Like there's a huge burning cathedral and he uses like 6,000 lights to recreate fire and that lights up the entire set. It's
like when
really
he's running
cool.
through that
yeah.
town and all those flares are going
on. It's up. Great. You don't have a hard time seeing what's going on, but at the same time, like it still feels really real.
Game of Thrones tried something with that, with The Long Night in season
yeah.
8.
And but, like, it's too dark.
You couldn't see shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand that the characters can't see shit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, this is supposed to be the most expensive battle sequence ever put to film.
Yeah,
you can't
it's hard.
See half of
like,
it.
Again, as we always say, film is really subjective. Like, it's art, so.
I understand the motivation. It just wasn't executed.
Right. Let's see what else I got. The film, and this isn't really... This isn't really a spoiler. The film jumps around a lot in time. So, like, we're following a bunch of characters. Sometimes it's really messy.
It took me a while to realize that the kid was Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I had to... Because I was sitting there and I'm like... Like I said, this movie's long. And it takes a while for Tom Holland to come in. Not necessarily his character, but him. And I'm like... What does any of this have to do with, like, everything else? So I had to I went to IMDb, and I'm like, oh. And I saw that their names are the same. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is that person, but younger, and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And it made sense, because I was like, when you see him as a kid, and then you see Tom Holland, you're like, yeah. Like, this kid would grow up into this guy that Tom Holland is.
Right.
Like, it made complete sense. But I was just like, oh, okay. Like, it's slow. It takes its time to get to where it needs to be, but...
I only have two more like non-spoiler related things that I think are great. I talked about like the cinematography being somewhat lackluster. The writing throughout this is really good. It helps that it's based off of a book, right? So the cinematography, there's only one point where like I think that there are some beautiful shots, and it's when I think Sebastian Stan is in the dark room and he's looking at all of these negatives, and the lighting is perfect throughout that entire film. And like these negatives are placed on this really harsh, bright light. So you can see what the image is. And like that shot really well. It feels like Seven. It feels like a very investigative piece. That's really cool. So I like that. I definitely wanted to mention that. And then the ending of the film, it's very much a Fincher, like, slow burn throughout the entire thing. Like, almost nothing happens. And the last, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, shit starts going crazy. And, like, when it comes to a head, it's really good. But when there's nothing going on, it's kind of meh. It drags. The pacing is hit or miss.
I do agree with that. But like I said, like... It was a little difficult to sit through this movie, but not because it's bad. It's just It sounds like I'm saying don't watch this movie. Not at all what I'm saying. You should watch it.
So RogerEbert.com mm-hmm. is a big movie review site. It's also a man, sure. But they reviewed this movie. And I think the best thing that they said from this is that, and I totally agree. I was like, why does this not necessarily work? And they said there's so many characters that it would have worked really well as a miniseries.
And there is kind of a lot to, like, they go through a lot. And it's just kind of a lot to swallow within, like, a 2.5 hour time frame.
Yeah.
Because it either feels like, it either feels too drawn out, like, the scenes feel too drawn out and, like, there's not really much happening. Like, if you're not listening to every bit of dialogue that they're talking about, you're not going to completely gonna understand, like, what the scene is about. But... yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. That's really all I got. That all of that being said, it sounds like a lot of negative stuff, but like it's still really good. Like it is a good movie for like film for people who are interested in film.
It's a good gritty drama.
Yeah. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I think you should definitely watch it. I think it's worth a watch.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I'd recommend it for sure. If you got like a Saturday night or a Friday night, weekend night, you're not doing anything.
And you want to feel depressed.
Yeah.
Pop it
up. Pour yourself a drink and watch this movie. Yeah, you'll have a good time. But yeah, guys, that's it for The Devil All the Time.
I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little shorter of a review, but hey, I mean, it's one nonetheless. You get to hear us talk. If you like
two
that.
Episodes in 1 week or whatever. Wait, what?
Nope.
We're here.
And guys, don't forget to check us out on social media. We Absolutely. Got everything.
Yeah.
Like, and you can listen to us on Spotify or iTunes or YouTube. You can even go there if you want to listen to us babble and talk. And
yeah, subscribe, share, give us a like.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram too. We post new episodes every Wednesday, mm-hmm. And we have pictures that go along with it too. So you can see stuff.
Yeah. Not pictures of us, of course.
No, God, no. I don't want anyone to see my face.
Yeah, me neither.
Just have taken so many pictures of me.
Because I'm an actor.
Oh, I get it. I do get it, yeah.
No, never mind.
Do you have any closing remarks or anything like that you want to talk about?
Nope, just fuck off.
Okay. Should that be, that's the catchphrase of Chase McDoofy.
Chase McDoofy, fuck off.